Today on The Wisdom Journey, Stephen Davey is continuing through Kings and Chronicles. We've now arrived at the book of 2 Kings. Elijah's ministry ended uniquely and dramatically, but his departure didn't mean the end of God's work. He had Elisha prepared and ready to step in and continue the work. That's a reminder that we're all uniquely equipped to serve God whenever He wants us and wherever we are. Stephen called this lesson, When Truth Hurts.
Sometimes the truth hurts. It's especially true that it hurts when our desires and commitments are wrong, when we feel that sting of pain. You know, the best thing to do is face up to the truth and follow it. To ignore the truth, even if it stings, is to invite disaster into our lives. Now, as we come to the book of 2 Kings today, the very first chapter is an illustration of this in the life of Ahab's son, who's just ascended the throne of Israel. He's going to reign for only 2 years, but Ahaziah will follow the wicked path of his father and mother, Ahab and Jezebel. Now, two rather traumatic events are going to take place during Ahaziah's reign. First, the people of Moab rebel and refuse to pay tribute to Israel and to serve the nation. Now, this rebellion is going to continue for several years, as we see here in chapter 3. The second traumatic event is a personal injury. Chapter 1 and verse 2 says here, Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria and lay sick. Now, this upper chamber would have been on that flat roof of his palace there in the capital. It would have had an open balcony, and it would have been enclosed around each side with lattice work. Now, evidently, Ahaziah was leaning against that lattice, and it gave way, and it sent the king crashing down to the ground. Well, this injury was serious enough to confine Ahaziah to his bed. He may very likely have been partially paralyzed. You'll notice here that his response isn't to seek the Lord. Rather, he tells messengers here in verse 2, Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness. You know, some people get sick and turn to God. Ahaziah gets sick and turns to this false god. Now, these messengers never make it to Ekron because Elijah intercepts them. He says to them here in verse 3, Is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? By the way, the word Zebub is the word for fly. So Baal-zebub means Lord of the flies. The king is seeking supernatural knowledge from a god who supposedly controls flies. Well, Elijah continues here in verse 4. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed which you've gone up, but you shall surely die. Well, when the messengers return to the king, describe what happened, he recognizes that they encountered the prophet Elijah. And the king sends 50 soldiers to arrest this prophet. And when they find Elijah, they demand his surrender. Verse 10 tells us that Elijah answered the captain of 50, Well, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Well, instead of learning from this, Ahaziah sends 50 more soldiers, and the exact same thing happens all over again. Ahaziah still won't acknowledge his sin and rebellion, and he now sends a third captain with 50 more soldiers. But this captain has enough common sense to fall on his knees and beg Elijah here in verse 13, O man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Well, with that humble request, the captain and his men are spared. Elijah goes with them to King Ahaziah, and he repeats his message to him here in verse 16. because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, you shall surely die. And that's exactly what happens here at the end of chapter 1. The truth hurt, but sadly it didn't hurt enough to bring this king to repentance. And like his father Ahab, Ahaziah throws away his life. And even more tragically, he loses out throughout all of eternity. Let me urge you today, beloved, believe the truth of God's word. Believe the gospel, if you haven't already, that by faith in Jesus Christ alone, there is forgiveness of sin. If you haven't come to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be spared eternal hurt and pain. Now, I want to point out another truth here in chapter 2 that these people of God are going to have to face. It's the truth that Elijah's ministry is coming to an end. Verse 1 tells us, the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind. Now, as that time approaches, Elijah seems to be testing Elisha's loyalty to see if he's really prepared to wear the mantle now of his teacher Elijah. So Elijah tells Elisha to stay behind, first to stay behind here at Gilgal, verses 1 and 2, and then to stay behind in Bethel, that's here in verse 4, and then again to stay behind in Jericho, verses 5 and 6. And each time, Elisha says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. His loyalty to his prophet and mentor is firm. Well, when they finally arrive at the Jordan River, when 50 prophets of God are watching, Elijah rolls up his cloak, here in verse 8, and he strikes the water with it. Well, the river miraculously parts, and these two men cross over on dry ground. And once they're on the other side, Elijah turns to Elisha here in verse 9 and says, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha replies, please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. Now, what's Elisha asking here? Well, the Bible does record that Elisha performed more miracles than Elijah and that his ministry was nearly twice as long. But Elisha's not asking here for some kind of, you know, magic wand that's going to give him twice as much power. That's not it at all. What he's asking for is a double portion. That's the expression used for the firstborn son's inheritance. He carries on the family business. He receives twice the inheritance of his brothers. So Elijah is being asked here by Elisha to effectively give him that inheritance, allow him to carry on the work of God as his heir, as his firstborn son, so to speak. Well, Elijah responds here in verse 10. If you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. Well, just a few minutes later, verse 11 tells us, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Let me tell you, the biography of Elijah ends as dramatically as it began. Imagine, this was the prophet who'd been so discouraged earlier in his ministry that he'd asked the Lord to end his life. And now this old faithful prophet of God is taken to heaven in a chariot of fire without ever experiencing death. As soon as those horses of fire disappear into the clouds, the powerful ministry of Elisha begins. God immediately validates Elisha here in verse 14 as Elisha repeats the miracle of parting the waters of the Jordan River. Then Elisha goes on to Jericho where the water supplies become poisoned in some manner, making it unfit for drinking and for irrigation. And here in verse 21, Elisha miraculously cleanses that water supply. Now, as Elisha is traveling to Bethel, Elisha is insulted, more than likely threatened by a gang of boys. Now, your translation might call them children, but these are actually young men who are antagonistic toward God's prophet. Elisha brings down upon them a curse. We're not told what the curse is, but we are told here in verse 24, and two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys. Well, these mama bears literally kill this gang of young men who defied the prophet of God and may have even wanted to threaten his life. That's sort of another way of saying now to the nation, this is a true prophet of God, and you'd better listen to the truth that he's going to deliver on behalf of God. That truth might hurt, but you'd better listen. Beloved, God has given to us his word today. It presents the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. But God designed it to protect your life and to convict you and me and keep us on the right path as we walk with God, even today. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I'm sure that if you've spent almost any time at all in God's Word, you know that what Stephen just said is true. Sometimes the truth hurts. Even so, God calls us to obey, and I hope you'll do just that. We have a free resource available for you to download right now from our website. Stephen has a booklet to help you think biblically about those times when God says no to your desires and plans. Visit wisdomonline.org to download this free resource today. Then join us back here next time as we continue along the wisdom journey.